Hey everybody, thanks for tuning into the podcast. It's finally Friday. How long has it been? So, I guess it's been about a month since I realized the folly of my ways. If you've been listening for a while, you'll know that I made it a thing. I tried to make it a thing to have a discussion or to talk about gas station snacks every day. I have it be a thing. So in order to have that discussion, I had to stop and buy a snack at a gas station every day. And it was going pretty well. I was trying out new snacks. But then I got on the scale. And I got really fat. So I realized that it might be a mistake. And so I stopped doing it. But finally, I got on the scale this morning. I finally lost all the gas station snack weight. So now I'm now back to the weight I was when I started that segment. So that's the good news. Nothing like making a dumb decision in the middle of summer to make yourself look terrible. But now we're back. So that's exciting. The good news. So the governor of New York State, who is not my favorite person, he is amongst the corrupt New York City politicians who've sort of invaded the pristine beauty of upstate New York. I guess he's the head corrupt politician since he's risen to the rank of governor. There's a lot of things to not like about Andrew Cuomo. I call him King Andy because he acts like a king. So he had these two politicians, the head of the Senate, Dean Skelos, and the head of the Assembly, Sheldon Silver. They had been involved in New York State politics their entire lives. They had risen to the top of the top. And basically, every elected official in the state was terrified of them. So what they did was, and they did it openly, it was a joke. They would talk about it, called it the governing by three men in a room. So Silver, Skelos, and Cuomo would sit down in a room. They would decide what they wanted to do. The two legislators would return to their respective chambers of state government, tell everyone what was going to happen. They would have a vote. Cuomo would sign it. And that was that. That's how they ruled the state. Nobody complained. Nobody said anything about it. Nobody held the representatives to account for bowing down to these three clowns. Two of them are now in prison. Not Cuomo. The other two. I don't know that anything changed. I think he just got two new men to have three men in a room, but they did stop talking about three men in a room. So to me, my dislike of Cuomo was natural. He is part of this liberal New York City Democrat invasion that came to upstate New York. Started decades ago. Passing regulations and legislation that restricted the ability of businesses in upstate New York to exist. So in upstate New York, we had a lot of small family-owned businesses, manufacturing, agriculture, and service economy. And New York City politicians passed rules for New York City, and it drove the upstate New Yorkers out of business, which in turn drove upstate New Yorkers out of New York State. So it became a thing. You know, bright kids would graduate from high school in New York State and go to college mostly out of state and never come back. So he's actually recognized this as New York is the only state of the 50 beautiful United States to have actual population declines. Now, other states have declines in representation in the Electoral College and in Congress because they have declined as a percentage of the total population, but they haven't actually gone backwards. New York State's the only state to have fewer people in it today than it had in it 10 years ago. That's how bad it is. So even California, with all the jokes about California being crazy and nutty, even California has population increases. New York has population decreases. So their new little plan to fix it is that they're going to offer free, or they are offering free college at state schools to in-state residents if they agree to stay in the state, I think for 5 years afterwards, and they have to work. basically the plan is to give you free college, which is good, I guess. And in return, you have to stay long enough to hopefully get married, have a family, get your kids in school, and then not want to leave because you've put down roots. So it's this bizarre bribe to stay. But that's their new plan. So Cuomo, and all people who exist in echo chambers, Cuomo oftentimes says what he really thinks. He doesn't understand that what it sounds like to the outside world because he exists in this very liberal New York City, upper echelon, wealthy society. It's why when Hollywood people talk about things, they sound so stupid. It's not because they're actually stupid. It's because they only hang around with other wealthy Hollywood people. And they say things to each other and it sounds right. And then they say it out loud to everyone else. And everyone else looks at them like their head just fell off. So some politicians are really good about having sort of the private and the public persona. Cuomo's not that good at it. So after Sandy Hook, when they were talking about gun control legislation in New York State, which of course they passed in the middle of the night without reading the law, but when they were talking about it, he went on the radio and said that the radio host asked him what they were going to do about firearms in New York State and getting rid of, you know, things like the AR-15, and he said 100% confiscation is an option. He meant going door to door and rounding up people's guns was an option on the table for Cuomo in New York State. Now, that's not the kind of thing that you say out loud. We know that the left believes that. We know that the left wants that. But if you want to be elected to office, you don't say that kind of thing. Ever since he said that, every time it comes up that Cuomo might run for president, I laugh. I giggle. I hope he does. Oh, please run for president. Please win in the primary. And then somebody can unleash the tape of Cuomo saying that confiscation is an option. And that would be the end of that. But now he's one-upped himself. I could talk forever about the stupid law they passed, the SAFE Act, but now he's one-upped himself. Cuomo came out this week and said that we can't make America great again. So, of course, Cuomo hates Trump. I mean, that goes without saying. We can't make America great again because America was never that great. He said it. He actually said that. Now, afterwards, his office tried to walk it back and say that's not what he meant. He meant that there's still room for improvement. America could be better, more equal, more opportunity. Whatever progressive talking points. The public progressive talking points. Now, the private progressive talking point, because they believe that America is an evil colonizer filled with oppressors, is that America was never that great. There's a clip from some movie going around with the guy from Dumb and Dumber in it talking about America doesn't rule the world in anything and that all the other countries have freedom, Belgium, France, England, blah, 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 which we know isn't true. England, you get arrested for telling jokes. Tommy Robinson got arrested for talking publicly about a trial where Muslim men had raped children. We know there's no freedom in these other countries. Sweden has crackdowns on reporting about violent crimes. It's illegal in Sweden to include the race of the perpetrator on the paperwork for a violent crime and rape. Yeah, freedom. You think that Europe is free? Try to start your own phone company. Watch how that works out for you. Start your own doctor's office and say that you won't take the national insurance. See how free you are. It's not very free over there. But anyway, that's not the point. But the gist of this speech about America being fourth in math and 27th in science and 172nd in something or another is that America's not that great. And the left believes that America's not that great. To say that America is great or was great or make America great again is not to say that other countries don't have their strong points. I mean, Cuba has a high literacy rate, 99, 98, 99%. That's good. I'm happy about that. Now, if you don't let anyone read anything of interest or of value or with the ability or has the potential to open their mind to other ways of living, I don't know what the point of making them all literate is, but they are literate, which is good. I don't think we should model ourselves after Cuba because they have 1% higher literacy than we do. Yeah, no. So Cuomo, I can't believe he said it. I can believe he said it, but I also can't believe he said it all at the same time. Like I said, it's what he really believes. He really believes America was never great. He really believes that America's a terrible country. He really believes that his progressive policies are going to fix it. And like all communists, he believes the ends justify the means. So if he has a plan to shore up support in Erie County and Buffalo to really lock himself in as being the only viable candidate for statewide office, because he already has New York City in the bag, to cost $1 billion of taxpayers' money, so be it. So he came up with the Buffalo Billionaires Scheme, where they're going to pour $1 billion of state money into Buffalo, New York for economic development. So he could be a hero out there. But they weren't content to just buy votes with $1 billion. They wanted to get some of the money back. So they bid rigged the contract. So only one contractor was qualified to place a bid. That contractor places the bid and, of course, wins it. And then Cuomo gets a ton of campaign money from that contractor. Funny how that works. I'm sure the deal extends into perpetuity. I'm sure as long as Cuomo runs for office, that contractor is going to max out donations to Cuomo. I'm sure that's the deal. Meanwhile, the guy who architected the whole bid and the money and the contractor and hit the contractor up to get the campaign donations is now in prison. Of course, all at arm's length. So both the legislators that Cuomo was making deals with are in prison. His head guy, his head honcho, his number one assistant, prison. He started a new program in New York State called SUNY Nanotech. The guy that runs that, prison. You get the gist? A corrupt, gangster, socialist state governor is going to lecture you about how America was never that great. Meanwhile, he's rich, and his father was a career politician. So the son of a career civil servant, public servant, who never had a real job. He ran his dad's campaigns. He did a bunch of political stuff. I think he was under Clinton, he was the housing secretary. Never had a business, never sold real estate, nothing, is rich. And he's going to tell you that America's not great. What could be better? What could be better than a corrupt political elite who's made millions through his corruption telling you that America's not that great? Really? Really? America is great now. My only objection to the whole Make America Great Again thing is the idea that America's not great currently. Now, there are some regulations and policies that are foolish and we should abolish. We should go back and look at things and see if they're working, and if they're not working, we should get rid of them. There are regulations that are not effective that do hamper people's ability to do business. There are things that go on in America that are antithetical to our Constitution, like the NSA spying program that we all know still exists, even though it's been found to be unconstitutional and they were told to stop. We know they're not stopping. There are things like that we should fix. People like to talk about race in America. I know that there are racists in America. I do not believe, other than Harvard University, that there's any institutional racism going on. There are no governments, there are no large corporations who are racist. You cannot find a large corporation that operates in a wide geographical area in this country that doesn't have a diverse population of employees. That's not a thing. You can't go to college and see a non-racially diverse college. You can't, which is fine. It's all good. Like I said, except for Harvard, who hates Asians. But other than that, seems like institutional racism is pretty much a thing of the past. And that's huge. That's positive. Should be happy about that. So I agree that some of the stupid things that we've done has made our country less great. The Affordable Care Act has made our country less great. Anyone who tells you that the Affordable Care Act has made America more great is lying, or they don't know anything. In America, before the Affordable Care Act, if you didn't want insurance, you didn't have to have it. And if you were a young person and you just wanted insurance for the worst case scenario, catastrophic insurance, surgery, cancer, emergency room, super affordable. Because it's unlikely when you're 22 years old that you get cancer. That was legal. You could get that. Free market decided what was available and what was not available. And now you can't. And that doesn't make America better. Taking away people's freedoms to make choices for themselves does not make America better. Period. Now, if you said America could be better than it was, and by coming up with some sort of option for people who cannot or do not have insurance, I would say do not isn't a problem. Cannot may be a problem. So if you choose to not have insurance, that's your choice. And I can't tell you that that's bad for our country. You're making your own choice based on the information that you have. And any kind of a tally of the uninsured shouldn't include people who have it available through their employer that choose not to get it. Now, I understand there were some people who could not get health insurance for a variety of reasons. And that's fine. If you want to fix it, there's simple fixes to that. Approach an insurance company. Let's say Blue Cross Blue Shield. You go as the United States federal government to Blue Cross and Blue Shield and say, we have 3 million people who are uninsured and we'd like to insure them. What would be the rate per person? No physical, no, like employer insurance. No physical, no nothing. They don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, which means they have some income and they have no insurance. The insurance company tell you, okay, a pool of 3 million people, random blah, blah, blah. It'll cost you, whatever, $250 a week. So then you go to the 3 million people and say, here, if you want insurance, here's your plan. Done. Fixed. No government. No loss of freedom. No argument about the uninsured. We all need to pay $20,000 a year for health insurance because of the uninsured. Ridiculous. It's hard to argue that post-World War II, America was not the greatest country the world has ever known. The level of economic freedom, the slow, perhaps too slow, elimination of systemic racism. But even inside a system that obviously was unjust, there was enormous economic opportunity for people of other races. Perhaps not inclusivity, but economic opportunity was there. People becoming more wealthy. American products were shipped all over the world. American media was shipped all over the world. We rebuilt Europe with the surplus. America was great. I think America is still great. But perhaps when we were freer, we were greater. So when I hear make America great again, I hear let's make America more free. And Trump talked quite a bit on the campaign trail about reducing regulations, which I think are the absolute worst thing ever. The federal bureaucracies are awful. And under Barack Obama only became worse. The EPA has put themselves in charge of every puddle in America. That's not a law that did that. The EPA did that on their own. They have decided that a puddle is under the jurisdiction of the EPA. So if you live a place, like a rural place, and by near the street, which is crowned, so the center is higher than the edges, so the water, when it rains, runs off the road, and you have property at the edge of the road, and you have a drainage ditch, so when it rains really hard, the water runs off the road and into the ditch, and then under your driveway there's a little pipe. I hope you've seen this in your lifetimes. If you've never seen a drainage ditch at the edge of a property, if you've never seen a drainage pipe going under someone's driveway, I would really encourage you to get out of whatever city you live in and sort of travel around a little bit. But anyway, the EPA has ruled that they oversee that ditch. So you dig a ditch at the edge of your property to keep your property from flooding, and the EPA has decided that they control it. That they are in control of your little ditch. That's going too far. That is not a waterway. So there's a guy in Montana. I forget if he was a carpenter or a plumber or an AC repairman or something like that. He had his own business. His dream was to retire on a big piece of property and have his own pond and then stock the pond with fish and then go fish in his pond. That was his dream. That's what he wanted. He worked really, really hard. He made difficult, wise, sacrificial decisions. And at a young age, in his late 40s, early 50s, he had amassed enough money to buy a piece of property in Montana. And I don't know if the house was already there or if the house had to be built. In either case, there was a creek going through his property. So he built a small dam, 2 or 3 feet high, and flooded a section of his property about, I believe it was about an acre, and created a little pond. He put a little dock on it, put some fish in there, and then he would sit on his dock and go fishing. As he dreamt his whole life, it was the thing that motivated him to run a company successfully, to pay his taxes, to hire employees, to grow, and to do a great job with customer service, and succeed in business. The EPA came along and said that he was not allowed to divert the creek and make the pond on his own property. Now, coming into his property, the creek was the same. Going out of his property, the creek was the same. I don't know what the argument was against the creek. The only thing I can think of is it'd be some kind of argument about life in the creek being disrupted, you know, little fish or something. They levied a fine on him for having the dam and the pond, for having that damn pond, and they told him they were going to fine him $1 million a day until he took it down. Now, obviously, that's ridiculous. It's not meant to actually make him pay $1 million a day. It's meant to terrify him. This is how federal bureaucracies work. They show up. They lead you to believe that they have unlimited authority and power. They demand you do as they say. And if you don't, they threaten you with fines and court proceedings and lawyers. And everyone just bows down to them. Well, this guy was a real American, and he wasn't bound down to anybody. And he told the EPA, no, he wasn't taking it down, and they could take him to court. The case went all the way through the court system, all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States, about it, sometime in the last year. And the Supreme Court of the United States ruled in his favor that he had every right to build the dam on his property. And there was no law in the United States of America that said he couldn't, that the EPA had just given itself the right to harass people and fine them $1 million a day. It went on for years, 5 or 6 years. So the guy owes $365 million per year. So by the time it was over with, he owed them nearly $2 billion that they had to write it off and leave him alone. Agencies like the EPA make America less great. Harassing people makes America less great. People not being free to do what they would like to do makes America less great. We are the best country when we allow people who live here to do as they please, so long as they aren't hurting others. You want to start a business, we should not be getting in your way. We should let you start a business. If we have regulations and fees and licensing requirements in place that make it next to impossible for you to pursue your own dreams, they violate the pursuit of happiness. They make America less great. So when I hear Trump say, let's make America great again, I hear more freedom for everybody. All races, creeds, religions, everyone from every nation of origin, more free. Other people, that's not what they hear. It's not what Cuomo hears. But it's interesting that Cuomo would say we can't make America great again because it was never great. Meanwhile, things are getting better. They're more like they used to be, which would lead one to believe that maybe perhaps you could make America great again. But the left does not believe in that. So yeah, so Cuomo's office came out and said, oh no, that's not what he meant. He meant that it could be better and more equitable and whatever. Blah, 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 blah. That is what he meant. When he said he thought that confiscating every firearm in New York State was an option that was on the table, he meant it. He meant that he legitimately would send New York State, I'm assuming the police officers, probably have to send the National Guard, house to house to collect firearms. He really believes that that's an option. He is Governor King Andy, three men in a room, two of them now in prison, has the authority to do as he pleases, that all the peasants who live in New York State must bow down to him. And I believe that's why he hates Trump. At the end of the day, I think Andrew Cuomo hates Trump because Trump is from New York and is not bowing down to King Andy, King Andy of New York. How dare he? And it gets complicated. Cuomo's brother works over at CNN. And obviously the Trump CNN thing is pretty brutal. But King Andy does not believe that the peasants should be able to tell him anything. So the whole SAFE Act thing is funny. So the SAFE Act is the law they passed in New York State in the middle of the night, three men in a room style, after the Sandy Hook shooting. There are a number of provisions of the law that are clearly unconstitutional, one of which being that a physician or a psychiatrist either had the authority to report someone to the New York State Police as being dangerous, and that means that they would lose their constitutional right to own firearms. And there's nothing in the law to have any kind of a recourse. There's no review hearing. There's no ability to defend oneself. There's no due process. So a psychiatrist says you're dangerous. The state police come and take all your guns. And that's the end of that. What? That's in there. No one's challenged that one yet. I guess it hasn't happened yet. But the first time it happens, guess what? Hopefully, they sue and the whole thing gets thrown out. But the other funny thing was that New York State decided, sort of completely arbitrarily, that the maximum number of rounds that should be in any firearm is 7. You know the argument. What do you need more than 7 bullets to shoot a deer with? Obviously, the Second Amendment has nothing to do with deer hunting. Nobody in the 1700s could even imagine that we would ever be discussing disarming our country. And clearly, shooting deer never even crossed their minds that somebody would ever not do it. Regardless, 7, that's the maximum. So in the law, it says that basically they tried to ban the AR-15, but you can't say I'm going to ban the AR-15 because then somebody is going to manufacture the identical rifle and call it something else. The PT-42 or whatever. And so you can't ban the name of it. You have to ban it by its characteristics. So these are not infinitely imaginative people. And so they decided what they would do is they would ban any firearm that had any one of a few features. And the features were a detachable magazine, semi-automatic capability. Trying to think what the other things were. Anyway, I think there were 5 or 6 features. Any firearm that had 2 or more of the features is now banned in New York State. If you currently already own it, you need to register it with the state, and you can never transfer ownership of it to anyone else in New York State. That's all in there. So they're basically saying you can't buy or sell them anymore in the state, but that gets confusing because if you have to register it and it's registered to you and you want to leave it to your son when you die, or your grandson when you die, you can't, because that would be transferring registration ownership to another individual in the state. So you'd have to turn it into the government upon your death or sell it out of state. But I think you can't sell it out of state either, because in order for someone to sell it, they'd have to legally own it. It gets complicated. But essentially, they're trying to do away with that firearm in New York State. Now, the reality is they estimated somewhere around 1 million of them were in the state, and I think 4,000 or 5,000 people registered. 99% of them in Long Island and Westchester County, all around New York City. Nobody upstate registered. I don't personally own one. I suppose if I did, I wouldn't tell you. But I don't. But yeah, nobody registered. It's pretty funny. But one of the provisions of the act was that you could only have a magazine that held 7 rounds. Now, as it turns out, most semi-automatic rifles manufacturers do not manufacture a magazine that holds 7 rounds. So New York State said, no, you have to make it. And they said, no, we're not going to make it. So then the new thing was, okay, well, you can get a magazine that holds 8 rounds, but you have to modify it so it won't take 8 rounds, you can only put 7 rounds in it. But that turned out to not be logistically possible because the mechanism that provides the pressure on the rounds to advance them into the firearm is a spring mechanism at the bottom of the magazine, so you can't do anything to the bottom of the magazine without damaging the functionality of the magazine. So they finally gave up and they said, now I believe the law is that you can have a magazine that holds more than 7 rounds, but you can't put more than 7 rounds in it. How stupid is that? Then they had a thing where they're going to have, part of the law too was they were going to have background checks for ammo purchases. And then the state police was going to monitor that. They're going to create a system to monitor purchases of ammunition in New York State. And they were tasked with that. Each county was tasked with dealing with the other provisions of the law. And almost unanimously, the counties responded that they didn't have anything in their budget to do any more for the state of New York. It was basically unfunded liabilities. Like, here's a new task for you to complete and no money. And most every county in the state actually voted to ignore it. They voted at the county legislature not to enforce the SAFE Act. It was literally almost every county, I believe, with the exception of 5 or 6. My county, the county sheriff said that he would not be following any provision of it. And that was that. A bunch of sheriffs said the same thing. We're not dealing with it. So anyway, the law is a complete failure. Nobody registered their firearms. State police can't afford to create an ammo registration. Gun manufacturers told Cuomo to go pound it. And then they claim it's a success, of course. They don't get rid of it. The law doesn't work. Just like the EPA. It's not working. It's not helping anybody, but they're going to just keep it. That's King Andy for you. But King Andy has decided that he really likes alcohol. And so he is going to do whatever he can to encourage New Yorkers to start businesses where they manufacture alcohol. So wine and beer and spirits. And so he picked that one segment of the economy and decided to create all sort of incentives, tax incentives, to encourage people to go into that business. Wait, you mean that you are admitting that lower taxes encourage people to enter into a marketplace? Huh, that's funny. I thought that wasn't true, until it is. There's no downside to higher taxes. We'll just tax the billionaires. Oh, but we want more people to make beer and wine, so we'll lower their taxes. Yeah, interesting. So now we have tons of distilleries and wineries and hard apple cideries and breweries here in New York State. Everybody's making the beer. Everybody's making the wine. So that's the new thing, because he likes it. So bizarre. What a bizarre state. But yeah, I find it interesting. I think it'd be funny if he tried to run for president now. He's on the record saying that he wants to confiscate every firearm, and he's on the record saying America was never great. Right, the country that saved Europe twice, rebuilt Europe once, shows up at every humanitarian crisis on the planet with money and people and equipment. The country who texted billions of dollars to help earthquake victims in Haiti. I mean, I know the Clintons stole all the money, but still, it doesn't change the fact that the American people are generous. That country. The country that sends missionaries all around the world and has been doing so since the early 1800s. Yeah. We're terrible. We were never great. We were never the leading manufacturer of everything on the planet. Oh, you know, yes, we were. But King Andy doesn't see things that way. But that's the difference. That's the, when I talk about it, I have nothing but animosity towards the political elite and the media elite. This is what I'm talking about. They live in these echo chambers. They live in these wealthy, wealthy, wealthy urban bubbles. And they hate you, and they hate America. And anyone who excuses Cuomo, oh, he misspoke, or he doesn't hate you, spend some time listening to some of Cuomo's speeches. It is so crystal clear in his tone of voice how contemptuous he is towards the people of New York State. It's unbelievable. And they're going to pretend, oh no, he loves America and he loves the people of New York State. He wants to help you. No, he hates you and he thinks you're stupid. Just like the media. Just like his brother over at CNN. It's one of the saddest parts of the feud between Trump and the left, because the guy that was one at a time picking off people out of the state government in New York and throwing them in prison was a guy named Preet Bharara. He was a federal attorney assigned in New York. And he was having these long investigations and prosecuting all these people. And I personally was loving it. But he got in a feud with Trump early on. He was a very outspoken anti-Trump guy. And Trump took him out. Which is a shame. I don't know that he eventually would have gotten Cuomo, but I dreamt of it. Every day Preet Bharara was in New York, I thought we were one day closer to seeing Cuomo go to prison with the other two men from the room. It could be three men in a cell instead of three men in a room. But alas, Bharara crossed Trump and Trump got rid of him. Now Baraha's on Twitter and all he does is trash Trump and say stupid leftist talking points. Ugh. So gross. Dude, you were a principled prosecutor. You attacked the corrupt regardless of party affiliation. The whole world could get behind you and be happy that you were doing your job well. And then you got to go out and vomit ridiculous socialist talking points. Ugh. You ruined it. And we're still stuck with Cuomo. Cuomo's grip on the Democrats, and by the way, nobody likes Cuomo, just so you know. The Democrats don't like him either. The Republicans don't like him, and the Democrats don't like him. What he did to lock up his position in the state was he got a bunch of the Democrats in the New York State Senate to defect and to form a coalition with the Republican members of the New York State Senate. So the few Republicans in the New York State Senate, and he went to them and was like, you want to have some power? And they were like, yeah, we want power. And then he went to this group of Democrats and he's like, hey, if the 10 or 7 or 8 of you go over and join forces with these Republicans, we'll rule the state Senate and we can leave out these senior Democrats. So like the Democrats who, democratically speaking, should be running the state Senate do not run it. Because he cut them out, because he had Sheldon Silver in his pocket, two corrupt New York City guys hanging out together, and then he got Skelos from the Republicans, so they created this thing. So the Democrats don't like him because he's not very, he doesn't legislate progressively, he legislates like a king. He runs the state like it's his, because nobody can stop him. There's no check to it. So nobody challenges him in the primaries, except this communist from Vermont came, I think last time, maybe it was two times ago, I guess it was two times ago, and named Zephyr Teachout, and she tried to go after him from the left and failed. And then now the actress Cynthia Nixon is trying it, also from the left. She's going full commie. She wants to abolish ICE because I don't know why. She doesn't like that they arrest child rapists. I have no idea. I don't know what her deal is. But anyway, so she's challenging Cuomo also from the left, because the left doesn't like Cuomo because he's not left enough. And the right doesn't like Cuomo because he's way too far left. And, you know, at the end of the day, nobody likes to have a king. And he acts like a king and nobody likes that. So I truly and truly and truly hope, since I don't think that Cynthia Nixon's actually going to beat him in a primary, I truly hope that Andrew Cuomo decides to, after he wins this election, to run for president against Trump. And I really hope the Democrats nominate him, just so we can run nonstop ads about how he hates America and he wants to take away your guns. Listen, everybody, I hope you have a fantastic day. Thank you for tuning into the podcast today. Enjoy your weekend. Oh, I almost forgot. Today's podcast is brought to you by my book, The Toxic Masculinity Crisis, available at Amazon.com. The Assault on Masculinity and the Patriarchy from the Left, from the Progressive Left, Communists, socialists, feminists, all of them, is taking its toll on our men and boys. And Toxic Masculinity Crisis by Dennis M. Brown is the antidote, is the way that we fight back. It's the handbook, the manual to what a man is, why a man is good, what masculinity is, why it's good, what the patriarchy is, and why that's good. So check it out. It's also available at the Kindle Marketplace thing. So if you don't want to buy an actual book, you want to electronically read it, you can do that too. All right. Go and have a fantastic weekend. Talk to you on Monday.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.